Thanks so much for being here tonight. Again, welcome to Antioch Community Church. I'm the lead pastor here. My name is Travis Phillips, and we are excited to just be able to worship together. It feels like the summer is so sporadic, people trying to head for cooler weather, a lot of our college students out of town, but it's good to continue to meet together, and we're excited about what God is doing and what he's adding to our fellowship over the course of these warmer days. But glad that you're here, and I want to give you a quick update. Even as we tonight are experiencing differences in parking and our kids being in the service, which is a great joy, but if you've been here for the last couple of months, know that we have been outgrowing this space, particularly that last month before the students left. We certainly weren't keeping under fire code, I don't believe. So we've been aggressively praying and asking the Lord what he had for us next. And I just wanted to give you guys a little update with where we are on that. We are working out some contractual things and just getting all the paperwork filled out. So it's not 100% official. But God has allowed us to meet the guys just down the road at the Church of Christ, Tempe Church. It's a Church of Christ church, and they are just all about what God is doing in this city. And it was just really refreshing because I can't tell you how many people we've talked to, doors we've knocked on. And the first time we met these guys, I mean, we were just kind of driving around asking anybody and everybody and saying, God, we know this is the time. You just got to help us find it. So we met these guys, and their first response was, well, we just want to see more people come to know Jesus. And so if God has a role for us to play with you guys, then we're all about it. And so we just began talking with them over the ensuing weeks and months, and it looks like it's going to work out for us to begin meeting there. That means we will continue to meet on Sunday evenings. For a while, we thought we'd be moving to the mornings, but as we prayed more about it, we feel like God still has us at an evening time slot for a reason. So we're going to be meeting over there. It looks like we'll begin meeting there July 21st. We knew that before the fall came, we knew that we were going to have a bigger space to be able to meet. And so it's less than a mile down Mill Ave. It's still on Mill, just under a mile south, just south of Broadway on Mill Ave. And if you're going, it's on the west side of the road, or if you're going down that way, it's on the right. And so we're excited. It's a great size for us, a wonderful sanctuary, and a great kids area that's all-inclusive, so you don't have to cross the street or anything like that. So we're excited. Thanks for all of your prayers. I'll be letting you know more details about that as we get them worked out. But I just wanted to let you know that that's going to be coming, and we're going to get that posted so we have as little confusion when that date comes and with people showing up here. And as the date gets nearer, we're going to ask you guys to help us spread that word for people maybe that have been out of town. So, but we're going to hop in now to our series that we've been going on, that we've been going through throughout the course of this summer, called Guard Your Heart. And we've read over this verse several times, but we're going to look at Proverbs 4:23 again. It has kind of been the theme passage, or the theme scripture verse, throughout this series. And I'm going to read it in the four different translations that we've been doing, because each of the different translators have picked up on different nuances from this passage. So first of all, the NIV says from Proverbs 4:23, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Next translation says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." So watch over your heart with all diligence. The ESV says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." And finally, the New Living Translation says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." And so the place that God has been highlighting for us this summer is the heart. The heart, that place where our emotions rest, where our affections are, our passions, our desires. A lot of that we know really resonates in the mind, but over the course of centuries, that has been referred to as the place of the heart, where those things rest. And so we're saying, God, we want our heart to be completely yours. there are so many things vying for the affections of our hearts, for the allegiance of our heart. And we are saying over the course of the summer and obviously over the course of a lifetime, God, we want the allegiance of our heart to be solely and firmly in you, solely and firmly yours. No one else's, that everything else would compel, wouldn't even compare, but it would pale in comparison to our affection, our commitment, our passion for you and your purposes. And so this summer is about, God, how do we do that? What does it look like to guard our heart in that way, to allow you to increase and the things around us to decrease? And so we're looking through several books of the Bible, four letters that were written in the New Testament by four different people. And we're kind of taking from each of their opinions or their thoughts and their perspectives and how they have written it and saying, okay, God, what can we learn from these men about guarding our heart? And this week, we're looking at temptation. We're continuing on through the book of James right now and looking at James chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 17, and we're looking at temptation. Temptation, in a lot of ways, is the battleground for guarding our heart. It is the place where the battle rages for our heart. And so let's read in James chapter 1 as we dive in here. Beginning in verse 13, it says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." So we're addressing this area of temptation. And what temptation is not is sin. Temptation is not sin. We are all tempted. In fact, we're told that Jesus was tempted, that there was temptation that came his way. Those things that would entice, that would allure our heart, that would allure our actions to do that which is contrary to what God would speak, or contrary, take us to places that are contrary to where God would want to take us. And so we confront those pretty much daily. Temptations to do that which we know is not right. Things that we've committed not to do. Things that we don't want to do but are still tempting us. And some things that we're still wrestling with, is this right or wrong? And it's a place of temptation. And so we need to just address that first and foremost, that this area of temptation is a battleground. That it exists. Temptations in life exist, and we need to view it as a battleground. That I am either I'm gonna choose one way or another. I'm gonna choose a side today, or I'm gonna fight against this, or I'm gonna give in to this. I'm gonna throw up the white flag of surrender, or I'm gonna fight so that I can live another day. And so there is a battle going on for our affections, for our allegiances, and the battleground is temptation. And one of the things that we want to apply is what we talked about last week. And that's having a heart that perseveres. Last week, we moved over into the book of James, and we're going to be spending 4 weeks there hearing James's perspective on different ways to guard the heart. And last week, we talked about a heart that perseveres. And he talks about that at the very beginning of his letter, because we need to know that in when we hear all of these other instructions. To war against temptation, you must have a heart that is able to persevere. You must be able to persevere through ups and downs. And even on the days where you feel like you've given in to temptation, that you don't just let it go out of control, but you pull back and say, no, I'm going to persevere though I haven't been perfect. I'm going to persevere though it's been hard. So we must continue to work on that heart that perseveres, that is fortified by the character of God, so that we can say no to temptation. Titus 2:11 says this. Titus 2:11 and 12. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. And this is a beautiful passage, because the grace of God is extraordinary. And if you're a follower of Jesus, if you have a relationship with him, you've experienced the grace of God. The saving grace of God that has taken you from the sinful patterns of your life and rescued you from that. Rescued you from the destruction and the path that you were headed on. And the grace of God has come and said, no, I am taking you from this. I'm delivering you out of it. I am placing you on a firm foundation, so that you can live, so that you can have hope, so that you can have abundant and full life. That's the grace of God when we come to follow Jesus. But it doesn't end there. There's a grace of God, Titus says, that appears and offers salvation. That's that place of salvation. I'm saving you from the patterns of your life that were leading to destruction. I'm saving you from that, but it doesn't stop there. It continues on, and the grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. So the grace continues to extend before us so that we have the ability, the power to say no to ungodliness and to worldly passions, to temptation, to the things that we are tempted by that are ungodly, that are just the passions that rise up in us of our flesh, of our own selfish desires, or the passions of this world. There is a grace of God that trumps those, that is so much more powerful. Even in that moment that you feel like, I could never overcome this, I could never say no to this, that is not true. That is not truth as it's stated in the Word of God. But God has given us the grace to say no to those things. In the very midst of it, in the very heat of the battle, God has given us a grace that is so powerful, that is so deep, that covers every portion of our lives, that we are able to say no to these things and instead to live self-controlled, that we are able to control what we do. That we don't just operate by what we feel in the moment or what our desire rises up and tells us from day to day, but we live self-controlled, basing our decisions and our life off the Word of God, off the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we live our lives by. And we control ourselves in that way, and we stand upright. I like that picture, that we're not bowing down to the desires, to our own selfish desires, or to what the world says is pleasurable, but we are standing upright in the face of those things and saying no, because God has given me something greater to live for. And so that is the picture that we have for this day, for this present day. That's the picture that God gives us to say no to temptation, to walk with a persevering heart into the battlefield of temptation. And the progression is not a good one. So here's the warning part of the message, because James goes on and he says, God is not tempting you. He doesn't tempt anyone. He cannot be tempted, and he is not in the business of tempting people. It says instead that each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. So this is the battlefield, that you would stand up and not allow yourself to be dragged away. Then it's your own evil desires. So there's a place that you have to say, no, I am not going to be dragged away today. Don't let your evil desires drag. If you just kind of separate, okay, I can see myself. You know, that whole picture, we're able to look down on ourselves. I'm not going to allow myself to be dragged away by some evil desire in my heart. I'm not going to allow that to happen today, because that's the battlefield. Because when that happens, we are dragged away and then we are enticed. These desires are dragging us. There's this war going on, and then we are enticed. It's like we are set up before something that is now enticing. And we have instead of being captivated with who God is, the enticing happens and we are captivated. We're enticed to be captivated by this idol, by this thing that will not bring fulfillment that has been placed before us. And that is the battleground. Because after the enticement, it says in verse 15, that enticement or that desire then conceives. And when it conceives, it gives birth to sin. So there's a process, and he switches over into this talking about a conception and birth, like having a baby, that there is a process happening here. Over time, it's not something that we just now, oh, we stumbled into it, and now I just stumbled into sin, I didn't mean to. No, there was a process that was going on in your life way before that decision to step into sin. There was a battle beforehand that wasn't ever fought or that was lost, and the white flag of surrender was thrown up. There was decisions made that led you to that place, and it's not the place that we want to be. Because that's it gives our desires give birth to sin, and then sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And one interesting thing about the way it's worded is that it talks about when it's full grown. And it's full grown because it's been fed. That's how we grow. We receive nourishment. We receive the things we need to grow big, to grow stronger. And in the same way, when our desire gives birth to sin, we find ourselves entrapped by the sin and we continue to feed it. And it becomes a cycle and it becomes more powerful because we give it more room in our lives to function. And all of a sudden, it's full grown. And we realize that this is death. What I thought in that original phase of being enticed was life-giving, was alluring, would be fun, would be exciting, would be easy, whatever it is, all of a sudden we realize that we've been feeding this thing and we thought it was going to give us life and it's death. That's like the things that nightmares are made out of. That, oh, this is life-giving. All of a sudden everything switches and it's like all that I've been giving myself to, all that I've been enticed by is now bringing me death. And that's not what we want to wake up to one day. And so we want to fight the battle now. And even in the places where you have given in to temptation, know that there is a grace for you today to say no to ungodliness. That it is a lie from the enemy that would say you cannot overcome. You cannot get out of this pit. This is too strong for you. You cannot say no. You can't resist. Look around you. No one else is resisting. How would you be able to resist? You don't have enough grace from God. You've done it too many times. You've spit in his face too many times. You've rejected the grace. But none of that is true. The truth is that there is a grace from God to say no to temptation. That the battle can be won. There is good news in the midst of this battle. And so I need the kids up here. If the kids can come up, we're going to have a little kids section here, and they're going to help show us what this good news is. And we should have talked on, you can have a seat right here, on focus today rather than temptation. You guys are doing a great job focusing in the midst of family life here. So I need you guys to face me, kind of circle around me here, if you wouldn't mind. We have any more that are emotionally stable enough to come up. Or you can just come up anyway. Come on, baby. Come on. She's going to come up too. Okay. All right. Well, I have a little something for you. Come on, Kellen. You can sit right here. I have a little something I want to give you, okay? And I think you're going to like it. You know what I have in my little bag here? You know, you saw it. Oh, y'all looked in it already, huh? You found it. Okay, so it's a suckers. So, bubble gum. Well, I don't have bubble gum, but I have suckers here. So you want one of these? Everybody can kind of get one there. Do you see a color that you like?
I like red.
A red? Okay, there's some red ones there. Everybody get one? Now, we're going to stay here for a second. Now, let's not open them yet. Let's not open them. So, nobody eat them, okay?
I think I want the blue.
Okay, so nobody eat them. Just sit back down. Sit back down. And we're not going to eat those, okay? We're just going to hold on to them for a second. And Mr. Travis is going to talk for a minute. All right? Let me put these back in here. Yeah, don't open it. Just hold on to it there. Sit down. Okay. All right. Okay, wait, I'm getting a call here, so if you can just sit here for a minute and hold on to that sucker, I just need to answer this. Just give me 1 second. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, I'll talk to you later then. All right. Bye-bye. Okay. All right. So, do any of you like suckers? Who likes suckers? You like them? Kind of? Okay, a little bit. All right.
I like suckers.
Well, thanks for waiting on me while I took that call. I got a question for you. You can't open it yet. But I have a question for you. Did any of you want to open that while I had to go take that phone call? Did you kind of think about it? Did you wish that you could? Maybe just take one little lick? See what it tasted like? You wish you could do that, huh? Yeah, that would have been good. And you're going to get to it in a minute. But you know what that's called when you feel like, ooh, he's over there on the phone. Maybe I could take just one little lick of the sucker and put the wrapper back on. Or I really wish I could do this, even though Mr. Travis said not to do it yet. You know what that's called? It's what we're talking about today. That's right. It's called being tempted. That's called temptation. When maybe an adult or a teacher or your mommy or daddy tells you, okay, now I need you to obey and not to do this thing, and sometimes we want to do it anyway, don't we? And yet our mommies and daddies know what's right, and they tell you things to help you and to keep you safe, right? And so we need to learn to obey them, but temptation comes and we're like, but it would be really fun to jump off the top bunk of my bed. But mommy and daddy say not to do that, so I probably shouldn't do it because maybe it's not safe, okay? And so we want to learn to say no to temptation. And I want to read one verse to you, okay? Can I read a Bible verse to you?
Yeah.
And then you can go and you can ask your mommy and daddies if you can eat that sucker right now. And I bet they'll let you. And so we'll have some quiet for about a couple minutes. All right. So let me read this verse. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13, okay? It says, no temptation has overtaken you that's not common to mankind. That means that everyone has temptation. And it says, but God is faithful, and he will not give you temptation beyond what you can handle. You know what that means? That sometimes you'll feel like you want to do something that maybe mommy or daddy says you're not supposed to do, but God will, he's always faithful to help you to obey, okay? To obey, because when we disobey, what is that called?
Sin.
Sin, that's right. And sin, what does sin do? It separates us from God. And we don't want to be separated from God. We want to be close to God. And we want to be with him. That's right. And so we are going to, and not be far from him. And so what I want to do real quick is I'm going to pray for you to be strong and to trust in God to help you to obey and to not do things that you know you're not supposed to do, that maybe are no-nos or that people have told you not to do. Then you can go sit back down. You can. You can. And so I'm going to pray for you because it says God will help you in that. So I'm going to pray that, okay? So everybody bow your heads and close your eyes and let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you for these guys and girls, and I just pray that you would help them, Lord, that you would be faithful to them and help them not to sin, but to instead to be faithful to you, to obey, and to have good attitudes, and to do what they know is right. So God, just help them to do that. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so you guys can go have a seat. Great job. All right, so that is the good news. 1 Corinthians 10, let me read it again, verse 13. That there is no temptation that has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So this is another passage, much like the one out of Titus that we read, that there is a way out. It's a different picture, but in a very similar one, because I always picture the grace of God like a canopy. Like this just canopy that I can get through whatever's going on in life, and there's just this canopy of grace. And in the same way, you can picture this grace that's mentioned in Titus and put it onto this verse and think of it as the way out. That there, God is giving you grace for a way out. And so what he says is that no matter what you are faced with, that it is not beyond what you can handle. Again, no matter what you are feeling, no matter what your mind is telling you that I cannot, I am going to give in. I feel like I'm going to have to give up. I can't stand up against this pressure. I don't know how to do it. That there is a way to do it. I don't know all the ways. I don't know your situations. I don't know the battles that you're fighting. But I know that the Word of God says that there absolutely is a way to say no. There is a grace to endure. It doesn't say that that temptation is automatically going to go away. And it's like, okay, God, thank you. Now I don't even have to deal with it. It's not always that easy. Sometimes you still have to deal with it. You have to endure it. That it's not gone in a moment, but it comes with a lifestyle of saying no to ungodliness. And day after day, setting new patterns, having new standards in your life. And that's when things begin to change. And that's what we want to believe for. But we need to stand on that truth from God's word that there is a way out. That God is not going to allow you into situations that he's not have the grace, that he does not have the ability to give you the grace to get out from those situations, those places of temptation. And so we rest on the goodness of God. With God, there is always a way out. He always provides a way out. Another example that I think of is that will help us fight this battle is the warning lights in our cars. And so if your car, if a warning light comes on, usually it's coming on before there's a great deal of damage done. It's warning you that if you don't do something soon or look into this issue, that something bad is going to happen to your car. Or there is a safety concern that, you know, even you're not buckled or a door is not shut or whatever it is, that these lights come on and they're warning lights. And we have warning lights in our life. There are warning lights that show us, and it usually is in this realm of temptation, that there needs to be warning lights that go off. We need to recognize them. And that's the first trick, is to actually recognize, okay, this is a warning. I don't need to flirt around and say, okay, is it or not, or maybe it's not so bad, or this or that. I need to first of all recognize, okay, this is a warning sign. There's a warning light going off in my heart that what I'm doing is not right. It is selfish, or it has evil desire. It has bad intent. Whatever it is, there is a warning light that goes off and you recognize it. And then the next step is that you not only recognize it and see it for what it is, but that you do something about it. And your response isn't like maybe it often is with your car, oh, I'll have time in a few weeks, I'm sure. Or when my schedule clears out. Or when I have an opportunity to read a manual on cars or read my manual and figure out what it's saying. And you put it off until something worse happens. And then a $100 fix turns into a $1,000 fix or whatever happens along the way. We don't want to do that. We want to address the warning light immediately. We want to address it immediately. And God does not tempt us, okay? We need to know that about God. This wasn't a very good analogy because I kind of tempted him on purpose, but I'm not God, and I was trying to just do something for a kid's sermon that would be applicable. But one of the things that they did have, though I turned my back, was accountability, right? That they weren't now alone in a room. But they had the accountability of one another and of you guys. And so that is a place that we address the warning signs, that we have people surrounding us, that we don't live isolated lives. This is a huge part of the battle of temptation, that if we go out on our own, that we're isolated, that our heart is isolated. And that can be as an individual or even as a couple or a family. If you're isolated, you're a much easier target. it's much easier to fall into places of temptation and get into patterns that you never wanted to get into. And so God wants to bring you to a place where you can get through that, where you can get out of those places. And a big part of that is community. And so I want to invite you into that. Invite you into it this summer. If you're not a part of a life group, that is the place where community really happens in our church. We get to see people and talk and come together on a Sunday, but really it's in the homes and apartments and dorm rooms that we're able to really have life-giving community, where we're really able to get to know others and we're able to be known ourselves. And so just want to encourage you to jump into that type of community as soon as you can, so that there's others that say, hey, that looks like a little warning light on your dash. You're like, oh, maybe it is. But you have the depth of friendship that allows somebody to say that to you. Because when you're isolated, maybe people see it, but they don't feel like they can say anything to you because they don't really know you, or you haven't allowed yourself to be known in that way. And so we want to jump in and counteract temptation with community. So know the warning signs in your life and do something about them. This passage begins and it ends with the character of God. And we come back to that a lot in this series and pretty much every message that's given, because it seems like the scripture, the Bible talks about it so much. So James here starts off and says, hey, I want you to know that God is not tempting you. He's not bringing you into these tempting situations to see what you're made out of. He is trying to lead you into life and life abundant. And that's what he starts out saying. Hey, you need to get that straight first. Don't be blaming it on anything. We very quickly will blame shift and try to make an excuse for our temptation and our lack of standing up against temptation. And then he ends this passage with saying this. Don't be deceived, dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Do not be deceived. Temptation is simply deception. It is the enemy distorting the truth that God is good, and that every good gift comes from the Father of the heavenly lights. That everything that we've ever desired, everything that we've ever dreamed of in the depth of who we are, will only find satisfaction in God. Because every good gift comes from Him. And the distortion of that, when we are deceived, we are allured into these other things that promise that very same thing. We are lured into these places of sin, these places of worldliness, of ungodliness that promise the good gifts, that promise the satisfying lifestyle. When James goes back and says, hey, and let me just remind you of this in your battle against temptation, that any time that the allure of sin seems to have all this luster, all this shine, remember that that is a deception of the truth. It is a distortion. That every good gift, everything that would allure, everything that would satisfy is found in God. And you might not always feel that way. Your eyes may deceive you. Your mind may deceive you. And you have to go back to the truth of the Word of God, that every good gift comes from Him. Every good gift for you, every good gift for your family, every good gift for the person that you're trying to befriend and tell about Christ or whatever, that the good gifts come from God, from nowhere else. Everything else is the pattern that we just read about, that it's temptation that drags you away, that entices you and your desires. And then it gives birth to sin, and you feed that sin. And maybe even at times you realize, I don't want to, but you continue to feed it. And ultimately, if you do not break free of that pattern by the grace of God, it gives birth to death. And so let us trust the Word of God before we have to find out the truth of the Word of God. And let us say no to ungodliness and yes to the Father of the heavenly lights, from whom every good gift comes from. That's where our focus is. In this battle of temptation, let us not get focused on, oh no, I gotta say no to that. I gotta say no to that. I gotta say no to that. Don't get sucked in. Don't get the tunnel vision, but just say, no, I've gotta get my eyes on him. And then everything else pales in comparison. I love it when people do a media fast and they'll fast from media for a month and things that they thought weren't too bad or whatever. They'll fast from media, particularly to concentrate on God. They turn it back on and they're like, ooh, I watched that and with a clean conscience or whatever, because now what they've looked at in God is so much more pure. It is so much more holy and good. It's like, that's kind of junky and trashy. I don't want to be filling myself up with that. I want more of him. He's good. In his presence is fullness of joy. Amen. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And we want to taste and see that the Lord is good. And we've got to fully taste of him. Not just get little snacks on the side, but just dive in into who he is, into his goodness. Let our gaze be fixed on him. And let the things that once allured us lose their luster and lose their shine. God, we're asking that you would give us your grace, that you just pour it out on us, Lord, that we would realize it, that we would realize that there is a canopy. And if we are walking parallel to that canopy, God, let us this evening dive back in under that canopy of your grace to say no to ungodliness, to be able to endure temptation, knowing that you provide a way out. Lord, I'm asking that sinful patterns would be broken, that those patterns would be broken in Jesus' name. And that instead of sin being chosen, that grace would be chosen. Lord, we need it. We want it, God. We want our heart to be fully yours. So let us fight this fight on the battleground of temptation. Let us not give in. Let us not give up. Let us not try to take shortcuts. But let us persevere. Let us persevere, God, keeping our eyes fixed on you, the Father of heavenly lights, from whom comes every good and perfect gift. There is no one like you, God. There is no one like you. Right now, Lord, as we think on the things that have tempted us, even the things that we've given into, I'm asking that in this moment, by the power of your Spirit, that those things would begin to lose their shine. That the allure would begin to diminish. And that we would see that pattern continue by keeping our eyes fixed on you. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. You see the progression? There's a progression of sin. First of all, we're just walking and kind of glancing. We're walking in this way. Then the next picture is that we're now standing in the way of sinners, the way that sinners go. Now we're standing. So no longer are we passing through, but our intent has changed and now we are settling in a little bit. Then the last one is don't sit in the seat of mockers, where you finally get in and you're so settled that it's like, man, I'm just going to take a seat here. This is where I live. This is where I'm going to dwell. Cut off that progression. If you're in a place where you're in that place of temptation where you're walking through, say no and don't go that way again, because it says, but blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, in the truth of the word of God. It is on his law, on his truth, that he meditates day and night. That we fix our eyes, we fix our mind on who he is, on his truth. And that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves do not wither. That's the picture that we want to be. God, help us to be the tree that's planted by streams of living water, that we are able to be fruitful, that we're able to give off life, that we don't wither up, we don't dry up, but we soak in from you, choosing the things that bring life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up together. We're going to take the rest of our time to respond to God. If there's anything that God is stirring you with, if there's conviction that's hitting your heart, we don't want to leave here without attending to the warning lights that God is flashing in front of us, okay? So let's attend to the warning sign and just say, God, what do I need to do about this? And what is the first step? What is the first step that even I could take here? Maybe that you need to come forward and you just need to receive prayer. You need to come forward and say, God, I'm yours. I don't want to turn to those things anymore. Maybe there's something that God is speaking to you, and it's a word from the Bible that is something you need to memorize, and you need to write that down and say, I'm going to memorize this so I can combat every time I'm tempted. I'm going to quote this because this is true and not what I'm being tempted with. But let's respond to God. He has got a good work that he's wanting to do in you, so let's respond to him before we leave this place tonight.